knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode, covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today is my cousin Cameron. Cameron, first of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's a few weeks since New Year's, but I haven't seen you since Christmas.
Yeah, so it is a new year.
For both of us.
Both of us.
And everyone else on Earth.
Yeah, but right here, right now, for both of us.
So,
yep.
We ended season 4 last week.
Yeah.
And
good riddance.
That was with Lights Out Levine. And I had to have you start season 5. In fact, I think you should start every season.
I'm very okay
right?
with that. Yeah.
Even if we bring in guests, you have to start every season. So I said, okay, listen, season 5 is going to start. You're going to come in. Come on. Let's watch some episodes. Message to you last night. We're on for today.
Yeah.
And yeah. Of course, you hadn't watched
that. Well, my first question was, which episodes was I supposed
right.
to watch again?
Right. I told you at Christmas.
Yes. So I had no... Yeah, you told me, and it, you know, I had weeks to do it, and I had the DVD. Everything was ready to go. But again, I just put it off.
See, this is what I'm starting to understand. Is like, for me,
yeah.
talking about Three's Company and the Regal Beagle podcast, that's like a super priority in my head. So when I'm talking about it to you, I think that you are attaching the same prioritizing it as highly as I am in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not. You're probably, when I was talking to you about it, giving you the details, what we're going to do in the upcoming year with the podcast, you're probably, what were you doing? Like waiting for dessert to come out or singing carols?
Okay, from the jump, when this whole thing started, season 1, episode 1, I was really stoked and excited. I had, you know, a lot of enthusiasm for the future, you know, because I know how you feel about this show and I know how much, you know, passion you had for it. And I know, you know, generally you have great taste in everything.
Generally.
Yeah. So then we started watching the show. But then I started watching the show and, you know, episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 10... I quickly realized that this was going to be rough. It was going to be a rough go. So I think because of that initial exposure to Three's Company from the beginning, I subconsciously, every time I think about having to watch the show, I just, oh, man. But there are so many other things that I could be doing.
Of course.
That would be great. And I know they'll be great. And I know that I'm going to make good use of my time. But with the Three's Company, more often than not, in my experience, I've found that I'm left wanting more.
So when you say more often or not,
the more knots, often than not, sorry.
Then not the knots.
Yes,
there's been some hits.
Yes, so if those who have, you know, listened to my appearances before in recent seasons, there have been a few home runs.
Home runs.
Yeah. Well,
mainly with Lana.
Yes, mainly with Lana, and I mean maybe home runs isn't the right word, because that
you said it.
I did.
You didn't say a triple,
but famously, you didn't say a double. Famously, you can hit a home run and still lose the game. So I think they're little victories.
Fair enough,
right? They're little victories that I've, you know, can say, yeah, that was great.
Now,
and I recognize the inherent greatness in it.
I'm curious as to whether or not these few episodes that you were watching last night were home runs.
Okay.
So let's start. Season 5, Episode 1, Upstairs, Downstairs, Downstairs. It aired October 28th, 1980, directed by Dave Powers, written by Martin Rips and Joseph Storetsky. Jack has three different dinners to cook for four different women. Cameron, what did you think of upstairs, downstairs, downstairs?
One word.
Fun. Home run.
Home. That's, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Fun is fun.
I had a lot of fun.
Okay, good.
I had a lot of fun.
Because I love this episode.
I go into every episode, like I said before, just really expectations super low.
Right.
But I had a great time.
Right.
Watching everything unfold.
Yeah.
It was great. A few bits were unbelievable, but that's fine. One of the more unbelievable bits was the fact that Chrissy turned down tickets to see the Eagles for dinner at home with Jack. They live there. They can have dinner with them anytime. They don't see the Eagles for free comp
apparently
tickets.
Apparently the Eagles play there. She could see them anytime too.
Sure.
But she could also have dinner every night.
Yeah. I thought honestly there were a lot of places where you could have lost, you know, steam and the episode could have sputtered, but it just kept going and it kept rolling on and more layers kept getting added. I particularly loved the interactions with Chrissy, Janet, and Mr. Roper in Roper's apartment.
Classic.
Because like Roper.
Oh, Furley. You
mean. Oh my God. Here Furley. I go. Furley. Yeah. Sorry. Furley famously, like when I see him, is just like starving, right, for attention from women. Yeah. And then it's basically, as far as he can see in his lens, being thrown at him, and he doesn't know what to do with himself.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Brilliant. Awesome. I thought the French girl had a terrible French accent.
She's really French, though.
Which is funny. Is she really French?
Yeah. Marie Lauren.
Wow. Okay, maybe Laurent. I just have a. Maybe I don't spend time with enough French people. Well, I loved that Larry had the Asian flu. And then everyone was just okay with that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great.
Going back about the French girl.
Yeah.
Denise was her name in the show.
Denise.
That was her first acting credit.
Not surprised.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. Not surprised.
And were you going to say Doreen?
Doreen, who was sort of the last piece of the puzzle.
Right.
Because he had all the dinners spread out amongst three. Also, credit to Jack for being able to prepare a meal. I know the last one was just hot wieners on buns, but to prepare meals for all, what was it? Five people he was feeding?
Yeah.
It was... I thought it was just a lot of fun, a great way to kick off a season.
Yeah,
it played to all of Jack's strengths.
He was
John Ritter's strengths as an actor.
Physical, yeah,
lots of physical. It was a good time. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was good. Doreen, the other woman.
Yeah.
If it was Denise, the French girl's first acting credit, that was Doreen, Lee Crawford's only acting credit.
Ever.
So we have this like very seasoned cast and all the guests, it's their first time acting. I have to think that it was because, you know, it was a favor to someone or something. How can you put two first time actors in the same episode? And you have to work around that.
Yeah.
But I love this episode too. I thought Denise was a bombshell. I thought she was hot as hell.
Absolutely.
Made it believable that Jack would do what he did just to see if he could, you know, score.
For sure.
I found it interesting that Larry has plants that he needs to get watered. And I found it interesting that Denise, the French girl... She hadn't even met Jack for more than 2 minutes. And she was...
Head over heels.
Yeah, she wanted to talk about her dreams and her... Like, that's... Look, dude, you don't even know who this guy is. Like, he said hi and then he took off.
And he showed no interest and she still was into it. Don't you want to talk... No.
About my dreams? What I love. It was awesome. So I loved how Jack interacted with that. I will say though, it was weird, like, to just the way they made fun of French people on it. There's just a lot of making fun of French people on it.
Did I miss something?
Yeah, like they were, I don't know, making fun of the accent, or maybe that's just me, like, being a little more sensitive.
Maybe I missed that.
It preyed on stereotypes of French women.
Yes, but that. I mean, that's, this show is,
I know, it's littered with that.
Like when Mr. Furley was, like, when, yeah, it's just full of it. Like, okay, I'm thinking in the episode when they were downstairs and the four of them are seated around the table. And then the girls are all over him and Furley is, like, trying to escape the attention of the girls and he can't. Jack is trying to leave to go serve, like, course number three.
Yeah.
To Denise on the third floor. He's got to, like, lay on this gay stereotype super heavy just to get Furley to leave him alone.
I know. And it still cracks me up, I have to admit. Right? It's so funny. And think about it, in 1980, that would have just floored the whole audience. I mean, me as a kid watching it, that's what triggers me to laugh now. Because I laughed on the floor laughing when I was a kid. I didn't really even know what I was laughing at.
Right.
But Jack was just so funny.
Yeah. And I think, too, like, interestingly, in the episodes that I've seen over the five seasons, in the beginning with the Ropers, and then even the beginning of Furley, like, with this idea that he is gay living with the ladies, like, it used to be something that he had to be reminded of and be like, oh, yes, I'm supposed to be this way because these people don't know.
Right.
Whereas now he's actively using it as a tool to get himself in and out of situations.
I believe he called Mr. Furley Furls.
Yeah, Furls. Mr. Furls, which I think, and if that's intentional, it's great. Whether intentional or not, it's, I enjoy this and I feel less bad laughing at it when it's just like he acknowledges it and then just goes all in, just like all in on the whole thing, right? He just like embraces this ridiculous like stereotype and it's just like so over the top that I'm like, okay.
Oh yeah.
Like it's still offensive, but it's funny.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's offensive. Everything's offensive these days.
Sure.
Or will offend somebody.
Right.
But, oh, come on. You got to be, you got to be made of stone not to find that really. I mean, forget about the content, but Jack as John Ritter as an actor.
Yeah.
Doing that.
Totally.
Amazing. But yeah, of course, the fact that that is the one thing that will get Furley.
That's it.
To scram being near a gay person is ridiculous to think, but it was definitely a funny device in 1980. So overall, I don't know if it's one of my, it's one of my favorites. It is definitely one of my favorites. I don't know, top 10?
Not top 10.
No. I know, but it is up there. I liked it a lot.
I think it's definitely, I mean, I haven't obviously seen every episode up until this point, but of the ones I've seen, it's probably top three.
Okay.
For sure. Because there isn't everybody, I mean, the newbies aside, all of our main, even Larry's got a couple good moments in the beginning. Everybody shines and they're all in their element, right? Chrissy's in her element, Janet's in her element. They're all playing their roles, and it's just like a well-oiled machine.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just cranking out the laughs. You know, there's no, like, there's no weird story arc, like, story arcs to fumble over, or just, like, it's just, it just, this, I feel like there's a groove, and they've settled into it. And I'm hoping that we're kind of going to live here for a while.
Yes, we will. For a while.
Uh-oh.
For a bit.
Uh-oh.
It's good.
Okay.